Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes Vav. And we begin the brand new parak, the 16th parak, called Kisvei. Learning today's Shir, Le'ili Nishmas, David Warren, Menachem David Ben Harav Yosef. All the Nishonis we learned for should have an Aliyah. Now, we begin the brand new parak, called Kisvei HaKodesh. Any holy writings, Rashi tells us, Kegon Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, and one might have thought that this just implies Torah, so therefore that's the only thing that you were dealing with over here. So therefore, Rashi wants to tell us it includes all the other sforim as well. What are we talking about? Kol kisvei hakodesh matzilin olsom mipnei hadleika. You're allowed to go save them from a fire. Rachmana lisanat, there's a fire. You're allowed to go and save them. Tosus over here brings down that we're dealing here with a fire directly in that house. He brings from the Reino Tam to Kula Hypirka. In our entire parak, we're talking about saving things. The fire is right there. And there, we're concerned. The kivan she'ha'esh shom, that the fire is right there. Vadei bolhu, a person is going to be so upset and concerned. And therefore, v'sharis le'osi l'chabuye. And if we don't allow him to do something, so then he's going to come to put the fire out, as the Gemara will explain. But if the deleika is in a bayis acher, then there is no concern. He's not so concerned and bamboozled over here. He's not going to be so involved, and he's going to forget that the Shabbos has put out the fire. So then there is no concern. The rabbis say you can do the normal things that you're allowed to do without any problem. Now, what are you allowed to do if there's a fire? Kol kisvei hakodesh matzilin olsom mipnei hadleika. You're allowed to go and save them from the fire. Rashi tells us here that it can be brought out into a mavoi, even if the mavoi doesn't have a shituf mavoyos. It doesn't have an eruv. And therefore, you normally wouldn't be allowed to bring from the house out there. But here, since it's only a rabbinical prohibition, and we're concerned that you may come to put out the fire if we keep this rabbinical prohibition, so the rabbis didn't insist that their rabbinical prohibition be mandated or kept in this situation, also to save the kachim, to save these holy swarm, the kisvei hakodesh. Now, this is true, Mishnah tells us, bein shekorim behen, whether you're reading these kisvei hakodesh, in other words, Rashi tells us, kigo nevi'im shemavtirim behen b'shabbos. We, of course, have the haftorah from nevi'im, and they would have a cloth, and they would have real sifrei Nevi'im, Yeshua, Shoftim, etc. And those are red, so certainly you can save those. But even Uvein, She'ein, Korim, Behem. Simple understanding over here is, Rashi tells us, Kagon, Kisuvim. We're dealing here with Kisuvim, which they didn't read. Okay, that's the simple understanding. Rashi brings down alternative understandings. We'll just go with that for now. In any event, the Bach adds the Vav over here. We'll see that this, whether you add the Vav or not, is really going to be a little bit of a machlokis in the Gemara, but the Bach adds it. V'afapi sheksuvim b'chol lashon, even though they're not written in Lashon Kodesh, even though they're not written in Hebrew, you're allowed to go and save them. Period. That's the simple way to read this. Then, te'unim geniza, see in the Gemara, there's a machlokis how to read this. Te'unim geniza, if these items are ruined in some way, then you can't just throw them in the garbage. So you have to put them in a geniza, what we would say, shamos, because they are holy, and therefore you can't just let them be held out in bizoyon and thrown in the garbage. Now, mipnei ma ein korim behem, why did the rabbi say that we don't read ksuvim on Shabbos? Maybe a person is reading the ksuvim on Shabbos. So more says, mipnei bitul beis hamedrash. Now look at this Rashi, fascinating Rashi over here. Rashi says, in Dibra Maskul, bein she'ein korim behem, so he writes, Kediktani taima mishum bitul beis hamedrash, middle of the Rashi, the moshchei liba. These are very interesting things. The ksuvim, they pull at your heart. People like to read them. Ubishabbos, however, the rabbi was giving a drasha, hayadorshin drasha lebali batim. The rabbi was giving an in-depth, involved shir on Shabbos. Sha'asukim b'malocha koi mosachol. The balabatim were working all week long, so Shabbos was a chance to learn halacha. When he would give his drasha, hayumoran lehen hilchos isa v'heter, and he would give them halacha lemaisa. The people who rather listen to the ksuvim, they rather read the ksuvim. V'tov lehem lishmar milikros b'ksuvim, and therefore the rabbi said, don't read ksuvim on Shabbos because you're not going to come to the rabbi's shir. You're not going to learn that halacha lemaisa, and therefore that's what's called bitul beis hamedrash. That's why we don't read ksuvim. Very interesting. Gemara starts off and says itmar. If in fact the ksuvim were written in any language, that's a simple way to understand this. That's what Rashi says in his first part. But then he says, linear, my personal thought is that it's talking about akol kisvei hakodesh koy. It's not only talking about the ksuvim, it's talking about all of the different Svarim of Tanakh. So, Hayu Ksuvim Ta'agum or B'chol Oshem, if they were written down, either the Ksuvim or all of these Sifrei Tanakh were written down in Aramaic or in any other language. So Rav Huna Amar Ein Matzilon. So Rav Huna says, in that situation, you're not allowed to say them on Shabbos. We don't allow you to go and bring them to a Mavoi that doesn't have a sheet of Mavoyus around it. Ein Matzilon Osom Mipnei Dleika. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Chisda disagrees. Rav Chisda Amar Matzilon Osom Mipnei Dleika. Rav Chisda says you are allowed to go and save it from the fire. Now, Ali B'deman D'Omar Nitnu Likros. According to the opinion that says you are allowed to read the Ksuvim, we'll see this in Machlokas. The Kuli Amalob Ligi, the Matzil, because if you can read them, so they are obviously holy, and if we're allowed to say them. Keep Ligi, the argument over here between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is only Alib the Man the Amalob Nitnu Likros Behen, that they're not allowed to be read. Now, Rav Huna Amar in Matzilin, Rav Huna says you're not allowed to go and say them, the Alob Nitnu Likros Behen, because you're not allowed to read them. So therefore, what would be the purpose of saving them? Rav Chisda Amar Matzila Mishum Bizoyin Kisvei HaKodesh. Rav Chisda says, even though you're not allowed to read them, I agree with that Man D'Omer says you're not allowed to read them, but you're still allowed to say them because it would be Bizoyin for the Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, our Mishnah seems to be directly against what Rav Huna said. Our Mishnah says you can say them. It's not. Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzila Mishum Bizoyin Ben Shekorim Behen, Ben Shekorim Behen. Ba'af Abishu Ksum B'chol Osho. So our Mishnah says Beferish against Rav Huna. So what is Rav Huna going to do with this? My love, aren't we talking about Shekorim Behen? Aren't we talking about that your Mishnah is talking about Shekorim Behen, that means refers to Nevi'im, which we said we have a Machdir. V'she'en Korim Behen, Ksuvim. That's talking about the Ksuvim. And Afa B'shekos M'chol Oshin, even though they're written in any language, the Lo Nitnu Likros Behen, Uktarim Matzilin, even though they're not allowed to be read, yet it says in our Mishnah, Matzilin, V'tiyuf to the Rav Huna, this is outright against Rav Huna. So how would Rav Huna learn our Mishnah? Amalech Rav Huna, you think the Mishnah is so simple the way you read it, V'tizbra, read the end of the Mishnah, Eima Seifa, Tunim Geniza. It says that these things require Geniza. They're shemos, you have to put them away, you bury them, you hide them away. Hashta Itzuli Matzilinon. You're telling me that you're allowed to save them on Shabbos. So you need to tell me, Geniza Mibai, would I need you to tell me that if I'm allowed to save them on Shabbos, obviously they're important in Choshev and they're holy, and of course I have to put them in a Geniza when they're worn out and they can't be used anymore. So the way you're reading the Mishnah also doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, you're right. Both of them would have to insert different words in the Mishnah, a different understanding of the Mishnah. Each of them would go and explain the Mishnah according to their own Shita. What do we mean by that? Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to save them. He says, that's Bein Shekorim Behem Nevi'im. Ubein She'en Korim Behem, that's Ksuvim. And when our Mishnah says you're allowed to say them, Bamed Dvar Mamurim Shekesuvim B'Loshon HaKodesh, our Mishnah is only talking about when they're written in Loshon HaKodesh. Avu B'Chol Loshon Ein Matzilim. But if they're written in other languages, then you're not allowed to say them. Nevertheless, V'Afilu Hachi Geniza Bo. Even in this situation, you have to have Geniza. So that's the way Rav Huna would learn our Mishnah. Rav Chisda Matar Tzatayimei. Bein Shekorim Behem, that's Nevi'im. Bein She'en Korim Behem, that's Ksuvim. And Afa Pi Sheksuvim B'Choloshin, he says, even though they're written in any language, Nami Mitzilan. He would say, in that situation, you're also allowed to go and save them. As opposed to Rav Huna said, they're written in any language, you're not allowed to save them. V'Achi Kamar. And therefore, this is what Rav Chisda would understand the end of the Mishnah. Umeka Shalahem. Because again, the question that Rav Huna had raised was, then what are you telling me they need Geniza? If I'm allowed to save them, of course they would need Geniza. V'Achi Kamar. This is what it says at the end in the Sefer, when it says that they're tunim Geniza. Umekak Shalahem to unim Geniza. And even when they get worn out, and you have the dust over here of the Svarim, they're all decayed, they're all ruined, so even that requires Geniza, even if there's no actual Sefer there, there would be Bizoyin. Gemara says, Meisvei, we still have a problem over here. Hayu Ksuvim Targum, we have another Brisa that says, if they were written in Targum, or U'Bechol Loshon, the Bachter says the words U'Bechol Loshon, or in any language, not only in Aramaic, Matzilin Osom B'Nei Adeleika. It says, Beferish, that they're written in any language, you're allowed to go say them B'Nei Adeleika. Now, Rav Huna says you're not, so therefore, to Yuftu, the Rav Huna. So Amar Rav Huna, how did Rav Huna go against this brisa? So he would say, no. Hai Tana, the Tana of this brisa, Sofer Nitnu Likros Behen. He is of the opinion that says you're allowed to go and read from them. I agree. If you're allowed to read from them, then you're allowed to save them. But I was saying, according to the other Tana, that says you're not allowed to read from them. Okay, Rav Huna's okay. Toshma, we try again. Hayu Ksuvim Gyptis, if they were written in Egyptian, old Egyptian language, or Modis, in the Modite language, or Ivris. Now, Ivris, Rashi tells us, this is Ksav Shel Eivor HaNor. This is the original Hebrew script, and it was changed to what we call Ksav Ashuris around the time of Ezra. So this original Hebrew script is different than the modern, quote, Hebrew script that we have from the time of Ezra. Or it was written in Elamis, in the language of Elam, or Yevonis, or in the Greek language. In all of these situations, the Raisa says, Afa b'shalo nidu l'kros, even according to Man Yom, says, you're not allowed to read them on Shabbos, b'shalo nidu l'kros, nevertheless, matzilim, or something from the Adleika, you'll have to save them from the fire. Again, opposite of what Rav Huna said, t'yuftu the Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, this is a machlokas tanoim. You're right. I'm an Amora. I can't really go against the Raisa, but I also have a Tana. Tanoihi, where's this machlokes? This is Sotsefta. And it says as follows, the Tanya. Hayuksuvim Targum. If something was written in the Targum, in Aramaic, Ubucholoshon, or any other language, Mastzilin Osom Ipnead Leika. Oh, you're allowed to save from the fire? That's like our Mishnah. That's the opinion that doesn't agree with Rav Huna. But Rav Huna says, ah, Rav Yossi Omer. Ain matzilin osam b'pnei adleika. I hold like Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says you're not allowed to be matzil them from the fire because you're not allowed to go. And if they're written in Aramaic, if they're written in a foreign language, ain matzilin. Now let's say them on Shabbos. Or Rav Yossi, ma'isa shohaya, ma'isa ba'aba chalafta. Rav Yossi says there was a ma'isa once with my father, Rav Yossi ben chalafta, and he called his father Abba Chalafta, as a sign of reverence. He couldn't call him Chalafta, so he could have said Avi, so he said Abba Chalafta. So my father, Shehalach Eitz Rabbi Gamliel Beribi, he once was by Rabbi Gamliel Beribi. Beribi doesn't mean, Rashi says, Lo Shehoya Bino Shel Rebbe, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. In fact, he was Rebbe's grandfather, as we'll see. Ella, Odom Gol Kori Beribi. This is a title of respect. This is like saying Shlita, Rashbahak. So he went to the Gadol Hador. He was by Rabbi Gamliel, and this was in Tveria, Litveria. And he saw Umatzu Shoya Yoshiv al Shulchano, Shol Yochanan Hanizov is the Gersa that we have. On the side he says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nizov. He saw that Rabbi Gamliel was sitting there, and Ubiyado Sefer Iov Targum. He was sitting there with a Sefer of Iov that was written in Aramaic, Ukaribo, and he was reading from it. So Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta saw Rabbi Gamliel, Beribi, reading this Iov, Aramaic Iov, Amalo. So he told him, I remember when I was once by your grandfather, the great Rabbi Gamliel. Rashi reminds us that this is Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin. That was the grandfather of this Rabbi Gamliel. Now, this Rabbi Gamliel was the grandfather of Rebbe. So we're talking about Rebbe's grandfather's grandfather. That's the Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin. And he once, Shoya Omed Agav Mala Baharabais, he was once standing on one of the steps of the Harabais, and somebody brought to him, Vivi Lufonov Sefer Iov Targum, and they brought to him an Aramaic translation of Iov. But Omar Lubanoi, he told the builders that were over there, Shaku Tachas and Edbach, hide this away. In other words, put this in Kenizah. Go put it underneath the bricks that you're laying, because one is not permitted to go and read from such a Sefer. So too, when Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson, heard that Rabbi Gamliel, his Eda, had done this, so Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson, said, Av hu tziva olov v'gonzo. So Maisa Shoya, this Eov that he was given, he said, go and hide it away. You're not allowed to read from it. Now, there was somebody else there. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda was there, and he said, Omer, areva shel tit kofu olov. He said, they actually, what Rabbi Gamliel said, was not to just hide it away, he said, put it underneath this barrel of this laying of the cement and cover it up. In other words, destroy it directly in this fashion. Amar Rebbe, the grandson of Rabbi Gamliel, said, I'm surprised if that occurred. Shteit shuvos v'davar. I don't think that that's correct. Number one, chodav chitit b'harabayis minayin. What were they doing with cement over there? They didn't have cement in the base of Midrash, in the base of Mikdash. So that doesn't make any sense. As Rashi says, v'chi betit hayubonim, were they building with cement? Below, betachasid hayubonim, they were built with various forms of limestone. Chol v'sid, sand and lime together, muravin. V'tit lohave elo afarmayim. And this tit over here is dirt and water. It's like a cement, a mixture of mud over here. So therefore, that's unlikely that this could have happened, that he told him to bury it underneath this tit, because there wasn't tit over there. That's number one. Number two, are you allowed to destroy it with your hand? It's one thing to put it away in a geniza. But you're saying, Rav Yossi Yehuda, that my grandfather, Rav Gamliel, actually destroyed it with his hands. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to put it in a geniza. You put it in a place that Rashi says is goli the hefker, in an open place that's hefker. And they'll Miss Avdin, others have the gifts of Miss Avdin, instead of Markivin, it will be destroyed or lost by itself. You're not allowed to do it directly. Indirectly, it's fine. So I don't think that this is really what happened. Rebbe said, I doubt that my grandfather did this for the two reasons that we just mentioned. Now, Rav Huna had started off this whole discussion by saying, it's a machlokas tanoim. I hold like Rav Yossi, and there's this Tanakama over here, that's what it sounds like, who doesn't hold like Rav Yossi. He says that in this situation, so Gemara says, man tanoi, what exactly is this machlokas tanoim that Rav Huna is alluding to? Is it the Tanakama of Rav Yossi and Rav Yossi? Ilema, we turn to the only days. Ilema, Tanakama of Rav Yossi. If you're telling me that this is the Tanakama of Rav Yossi, the Rav Yossi or dear Rav Yossi, are you telling me that this is our machlokas over here? He says, maybe not. Dilma, you know what the Tanakama says? He's really saying over here, Marso, and the Likros, he's going according to the opinion. It says, you're allowed to read them. That's why Matzilim Behen. Therefore, Tanakama is Marso by Nitnu Likros Behen. Marso by Rav Yossi is saying, Lo Nitnu Likros Behen. So who says that that's my machlokas over here? Gemara says, you're right. Ella, Rav Huna says, the machlokas Tanoim is as follows. Ella, Rav Yossi, the Tanakama, the Tana de Jiftis. It's talking about the Tana who authored the rice of the Jiftis. That clearly said Matzilin. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. And Rav Huna says, I hold like Rav Yossi, as we just brought down. Tana Rabbanan, now we continue this discussion. Habrachos, they used to have every Torah Shebaal Peh all not written down. So the brachos, the Shemoneh Esrei, that was, for example, Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore, you weren't allowed to write it down. But Kamein, likewise, these amulets, they often have psukim, Moshe Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Apa Pishiesh Ba'am Osios, even though people, if they wrote them down, Shel Shem, they had the Osios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Umin Yonos Har Bishop Torah, or various psukim of the Torah, Ein Matzilam Osom Ibn Adleika, you're not allowed to go and save them from fire on Shabbos. What should you do? Elenus Rafim Mekomo, you let them burn in their place, Hain, those words of Torah, the Askaros saying, and even the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, Dut Kevavke, or Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Brisa continues, Bikan Amru, Kosvei Barachos, Kisarfei Torah, that if somebody writes these things down, and this is all before Rashi points out, before Eis Lasos Shesem Eferus Osecha, this is all before Rebbe said that we now have to write things down because Niskatno Adoros, and the people are going to forget all this stuff, and we won't be able to learn. So therefore, Rebbe made a takana, Eis Lasos Shesem Eferus Osecha. Sometimes you have to go and be made for a part of the Torah in order to preserve and save the Torah. So again, these are very, very rare things, and they're done with the Haskalah, the Gedolei Hadar, and this was one of them, that you're now allowed to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. You can write it down. Normally, you weren't allowed to. Therefore, you weren't allowed to go and save them on Shabbos. Therefore, if somebody, in fact, did write these things down, Mikan Amru Kosei Brachos, if somebody did write down Brachos, so then Kisar Fitara, because it's as if you're going to burn the Torah, because ultimately, they're going to be destroyed, and therefore, you shouldn't do this. There once was such a person that was writing down these brachos in Sidon, name of a place. And Bovadiyah's Rabbi Shmuel, they told Rabbi Shmuel, he was the God of Lador, he was in charge. Baholach Rabbi Shmuel, Lebotko. Rabbi Shmuel went to check it out to see if this guy was really doing this. He's going up to his apartment. He had to go up to the second floor in the stomach. He's going up the ladder. The person upstairs who had written these things down, Hirgishbo, saw what was happening. So Rabbi Shmuel was coming to him, and therefore he destroyed the evidence. It's like the cops doing a drug raid, and the guy flushes the drugs down the toilet. So this person over here is writing down things he wasn't supposed to write down. He hears Rabbi Shmuel coming up. So what did he do? Notal Tumos Shobrachos. He took his entire, Rashi says, Tumos is Kvutzos Kuntreis. He took all his notebooks over here of the brachos, v'shakon b'safol shemaim. He dumped them into a bucket of water. He flushed them down the toilet. And Rabbi Shmuel said about this, b'loshen zeh amalo. Rabbi Shmuel told this person, amalo Rabbi Shmuel, gadol oneh sh'achro min harishon. It was bad enough that you wrote them down. Once they're written down, though, you're not allowed to destroy them with your hand, as we just previously pointed out. And therefore, your second action of destroying them with your hand is actually worse than you writing it down in the first place. If the Svarim were written with what we would call an inferior type of ink, they're supposed to be written with Dio, the real type of ink. But if they were written with something that is not as good, they're written with all of these different types of ink. Different types. Sam is a certain type of a paint. The sikra is like a red paint. We have the Maaseh Behemah, and they would paint the red stripe on the animals as they went through the 10th one that went through would get painted. But kumos is often translated as gum, and kankantum is a certain type of ink as well, ferrous sulfate. In any event, all of these are not the best quality inks. You're supposed to write a Sefer Tanakh with Dio. So all of these, the Braisa says, the Rish Lusha rather asked Rabba Barafuna, if you wrote down Sifrei Tanakh with any of these inferior types of ink, but you wrote a Goloshen HaKodesh, what's the din? Matzilin or something that like, oh, are you allowed to go and save them from the fire? Away Matzilin, or you're not allowed to save them from the fire. So Rabbi Barafuna answers, you can ask this question, Tiboy Laman Diom Matzilin, Tiboy Laman Diom E Matzilin. This question could be asked according to both opinions that we brought down, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Tiboy Laman Diom E Matzilin, according to Rav Huna, the question is a good question. Hani Mili, what are we talking about? That he says, Ein Matzilin, Hecha Duxivi Targum. That which we said if they're written in Targum, or B'chol Loshon, or any other language. Aval Hecha Duxivi B'Loshon HaKodesh, here, they're written down in Loshon HaKodesh, so maybe Matzilin, maybe you'll have to go and save them. Alternatively, even according to Mandiyom, it says, you're allowed to go save them. That's only, only when it's written in real ink, that it's going to be a permanent type of a writing. With these inferior types of ink, it's not going to last. Maybe in this situation, because it's going to be destroyed anyway eventually, because it's not going to last, so maybe you can't save it now. That's what the Reish Galusa asked to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And Rabba Bar Rav Huna answered, I'm like, hey, Matzil. And bottom line is, you're not allowed to be Matzil in this situation. They're not permanent, and therefore, you're not allowed to be Matzil. So wait a second. The Reish Galusa tells him, oh, Rav Hamnuna atona Matzilin. The Reish Galusa tells Rabba Bar Rav Huna, but Rav Hamnuna said, you are allowed to save them. Now, he said it from a Braisa, Tona. He learned it from a Braisa, the Matzilin. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, if that's true, I'm like, Itanya, Tanya. I said this Svara Mayal, but if you're telling me there's a Tanoic opinion that disagrees with me, so then I'm asking to follow the Tanoic opinion. I was saying this Svara Mayal, I'm an Amora, and I normally won't go against what a Tana says. Where is this Braisa? My Tanya. So Ravashi says, Kiditanya. It's the following Braisa. This is from Megillah. It says over there, Ein Bein Svarim Megillah. There is no difference between all the other Svarim of Tanakh and a Megillah, except the Megillah has a certain higher requirement. Elo Shas Svarim Nichtovim B'chol Lashon. All the other Kisvei Tanakh can be written in any language. However, a Megillah, Atcha Take Suva Ashuris, it must be written with the Ksav Ashuris, our present Hebrew lettering of our Sifrei, of our Svarim, and it must be written ala sefer, it must be written on cloth, ubedio, and it must be written with the regular ink. The implication from this is that all the other Svarim don't have to be written with the regular ink, and therefore, Matzilin, that's the Braisa that supported the opinion that Matzilin, that you're allowed to go and save these Svarim. Mark continues, says, Boy Minei Rav Huna Bar Cholov, Mei Rav Nachman, Rav Huna Bar Cholov, asks from Rav Nachman the following Shaila. Sefer Torah Shein Bo, Lelakit, Shmonim, Chomish Osios, Kigon, Parshas, Vahi Bin Soaron. If a Sefer Torah at Nebuch is destroyed, it has very little of it left, and it doesn't even have 85 letters, like the 85 letters that we find in the Parsha of Vahi Bin Soaron between the two upside-down nuns, which we'll see, according to some, is a separate Sefer in and of itself. That's the significance. So Matzilon, Soma, Pehadleka, O, Ein Matzilon. So we ask the question, would you save this on Shabbos or not? Does it have the status of being Kisvei HaKodesh, and you can save it or not? Amale, so he responded, right? This question was asked from Rav Huna Bar Cholov to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman responded to him, and he said, V'tiboy aloch, Parshas Vayibin Soron Gufa, why are you asking me about 85 letters someplace else? Why don't you just ask me? If you just have the 85 letters of Vayibin Soron, can you say that on Shabbos? So Gemara says, no. If it's less than 85 letters of Parshas Vayibin Soron, I didn't ask the question, because the Kivan is Behaskaros. It has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name there. So even if there's less than 85 letters, but it has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shame, so Avogad less Beishmon Chomesh Osios Matzilin. I know that answer. What I was asking is, Sefer Torah She'en Bo Lelake, but it doesn't have the Askaros, and it has less than 85 letters, does it still have the status of Sefer Torah? Do you save it on Shabbos or not? My. That's what Rav Huna Bar Cholov asked Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responded, Ein Matzilin. No, we don't save it. It doesn't have the status of Sefer Torah anymore, Nebuch, and therefore you don't save it. More questions is, Eisvei, Targum Shekosu Mikra. It says if you have Targum, if you have something that is supposedly written in Targum, Rashi explains that if you have Yogarsa, Dusa in the Torah, or in the Nevi'im, you have various psukim that are written in Targum, and in Ezra, almost the whole thing is written in Targum. So if you write them in Hebrew, instead of writing them in Targum Shikasu Mikra, or Mikra, if you have regular Mikra, regular psukim, Shikasu Targum, and you wrote them in Aramaic. Or if you write Ksav Ivris, if you wrote them in the lettering of the Ksav Ivris, the original Hebrew lettering. Matzilim Nedleika. The Brisa says that you are, in fact, supposed to save it. And certainly the Brisa says, Vein Tzorach Lomar, Targum Shebezra, Shebeniel, Veshebetorah. Certainly you're allowed to save Targum that's written in Targum. In other words, a Targum that you have in Ezra or in Doniel, which are written in Aramaic, or you have words of Targum in the Torah. Where's that? Targum Shetorah, mind you, what's that? So it says, Yegor Sa'adusa, as I already pointed out. When Lovin says, in this place, Galed, we're going to call Yegor Sa'adusa. So in any event, Apa Gav Deles Bo Shmonim V'Chomesh Osios. So it clearly, you don't have over here 85 letters, because Yegor Sa'adusa is not 85 letters. So therefore, what do you see? That even if it's less than 85 letters, you're allowed to save it. So Gemara says, no. Kitanya Hi Lahashlam. That's talking about when the making up the 85 letters with the words Yegor Sa'adusa. So in all, you have 85 letters with Yegor Sa'adusa. That's why you're allowed to save it. But you can't bring me a raya. What be the halacha if you have less than 85 letters? Gemara says, Yibaylu, they ask the following shayla. Hani shmonim chomesh osios, that which we said, the 85 letters is the minimal amount, mechunasos, so they all have to be together, or mefuzaros, or even if they're separate, you have a letter here, a letter there, that's no good. So it's a machlokas again, Rav Huna Ruchista. Rav Huna Amar, mechunasos, they all have to be together. The 85 letters have to be together in order to say the Sefer Torah. Ruchista Amar, no. Afilu mefuzaros, even if they're not together, as long as you have 85 letters all in all on the parchment, Matzilin, you can say that on Shabbos Min Mead, like from the fire. More questions. This is Meisvei. Sefer Torah Shabbola. You have a Sefer Torah that's worn out. So it says in this brisa, Im Yesh Bo Lelakeid Shmonim V'Chomesh Osios. If you can gather all together from all different places, 85 letters. In other words, they don't have to be together. But if you have 85 letters, Kigon Parshas Vayibin in Saron, like this, the Parsha Vayibin in Saron, so then Matzilin, you can save it. Vim La, but if you have less than 85 letters, they Matzilin. Now, here it says with Farish that you malakit them, so you have disparate 85 letters all over the place. Tiyuf to the Rav Huna, this Akasha Rav Huna. So Rav Huna stumped. So who answers for him? We find this all the time in Shas. Rav Chista, his Bali Plukta, should be really happy that the person he's arguing with is stumped, and everybody will say he's right. High five. So the Gemara says, that's not the way that we do things. We Torah L'Amitis, you want to find out what the troop shot is. So Rav Chista says, that doesn't schlug up. Even Rav Huna doesn't give an answer. I'll give an answer. Tigger Rav Huna, Rav Huna himself, Rav Chista himself gave the answer for Rav Huna. I'll leave with Rav Huna. He answered for Rav Huna, Betevos. The Brisa that we just brought down, and said you're allowed to milakate, that's talking about when you have not 85 scattered letters, but you have words which are scattered, and they add up to 85 letters. So there it says you're allowed to go and save it. If it has 85 letters, albeit there are words that are scattered, you can save it. But that's not against Rav Huna. Rav Huna's opinion was that if you have 85 letters themselves that are scattered, that you're not allowed to go save. That would be Rav Huna's opinion. So that's how Rav Chista answered for Rav Huna from this price. It's not a contradiction to Rav Huna's Shita. Mark continues, says, Tana Rabbanon. The Pasuk says, Vahi bin Sarom v'yom Moshe. The Pasuk tells us the famous words, Vahi bin Sarom v'yom Moshe. So Parsha Zu, Oslo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Simonios, Milamalo, Lamata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the signs above it, the upside down Nun before, and after this Parsha. Why? Lomar, to come to teach us over here, and we turn to the Yom Aleph, teach us a very important idea, She'ein Zemakoma. The Tanakhama says, that's not its place. Rashi says, She'ein Ru'i L'kan. It doesn't belong over here. It belongs in a different part of the Torah. Rabbi Omar, Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi Omar, lo men Hashem huzeh. That's not the reason. Ela v'nei sefer choshefu b'fnei atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that this is a separate sefer Torah, so to say. This parsha of Vayhi ben Saron is considered a separate sefer. They're not chamisha chumshei Torah, they're really seven chumshei Torah. You have Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, and Dvarim, that's four. And then Bamidbar has before Vayhi ben Saron, Vayhi ben Saron, and after Vayhi ben Saron, so it has three Svarim in Bamidbar, not just one. So that's what Rebbe's position is. Gemara says, Keman oz lohodem arishmo ben achmein yom rav yonason, according to which Tana, the Tanakhama or Rebbe, does the following statement go, which is, Chotzva amudeo shiva. The Pasuk says in Mishlei that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that wisdom builds a house. Chotzva amudeo shiva, the seven pillars over here are what we're referring to as Torah. So the Gemara says, Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah. These are the seven Sifrei Torah. Now, who says the seven Sifrei Torah? Right? Chamisha Chomeshei Torah. So come on, it's not like the Tanakhama, Ki Rebbe. This is like the opinion of Rebbe that says that Bamidbar is really three Sifrei Torah. Now, man tana de poligle the Rebbe. Who's the Tanakam over here that argues with Rebbe? So the Gemara says, Rosh Shimon Gamliel, who? This is the opinion of Rosh Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, Rosh Shimon Gamliel Omer, the Raisa tells us, Asida parshazu shate okim ikan v'tikosi bimkoma. That this parsha, which the Tanakam says is not in its right place, so it has the upside down nuns before and after it, it will eventually be taken out from this place and put back into its proper place. Alright, then why was it written here? Why would the L'chatchila is it not in its proper place? So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in over here? To separate between two Nebuch, terrible things that happened to Klai Yisrael, two punishments that happened to Klai Yisrael. What are these two? I'm not sure why we start off with the second one, but in any event, what's the second punishment? So that's talking about the people were complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that things are so hard for them, and we were better off in Mitzrayim. And Paronis Harishon, that's Vaisumi Har Hashem. They traveled away from the Har Hashem. They turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the parsha of Ahib and Sor was put in here to separate these two Paronios. You didn't want the Paronios one to run right into the other. No, where is the right place? That it's out of place over here. Veichem akoma. So Ravashi says, "Bid the golem." This should have been in the parsha of the golem with all the different ways that Klai Yisrael traveled in the midbar with each shevet with its dagel. This we conclude today's shir.